But the senior classes we can before they go on to bigger and better things.
That's a hell of a halftime speech.
I don't know how to put it in perspective, John. I mean, it is insanely tough. And
the reason is ridiculous. It is insane. Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast here, postseason edition. John here, Hannah there. Round one is in the books. Most of it was favorites, but not all of it was favorites.
Not all of it. I brought a show and tell project.
Oh,
if
you
you're
did?
Watching on the video version.
Yeah.
I brought my brackets.
You brought your brackets.
You can barely read my handwriting.
She's a bracket bringer. Well, I mean, you couldn't read mine,
I
so.
I can barely read that chicken scratch.
Well, I mean, no, I can read yours. You just can't read mine. So, no, you win.
Yes, we got to ring the upset alarm on Friday. That's the best part about being in studio,
yes.
Is ringing that upset alarm.
Yes.
Unranked Sequoia, Cambridge, and Luella took down top 10 opponents.
Mm-hmm.
John, mm-hmm. Sequoia.
Yes.
That was...
Over Gainesville.
Interesting.
That, yes.
To say the least.
That, yeah. That was definitely one of the more interesting ones that was out there. Cambridge, I think, just scored again.
Yes, they did. I heard it.
Shootout with Cedartown, 51-44, the final there. And then Luella wins a tight one there as well. But then you had some fours. We always talk about fours, and there are some angry fours. We'll catch up with an angry four coming up later in the show as well.
Yes, we will.
But Archer gets a win. They were below 500 this year. And they go as a four seed. They get a win. Peachtree Ridge knocks off a region champ in North Atlanta. Houston County wins as an angry four. Bleckley County, a big surprise in Class A as well. So that not everything was favorites. But the ones that were upsets, they were shocking on a couple of different levels.
All of those teams you just mentioned eliminated region champs. So the first round did not disappoint.
No.
We were back in studio. So mm-hmm. much fun. Nikki, Matt, and Wayne held it down at the field. I know they were cold. Nick was cold. She was texting me. Says she needed a heated vest for this Friday. I was like, where do you even buy those?
Sharper Image?
I guess.
And we'll figure
like a remote controlled
yeah,
heated
see,
vest.
Yeah, get the remote controlled heated vest. Those are the hunting vests or something.
I'll go shopping. I'll go shopping for Nikki.
Yeah, do Nikki a solid and try to get her a heated vest or something.
Get her the one with the massaging function too. Oh. You might as well, right? Like
But then Hannah's gonna wear that one. She'll just wear the massaging vest indoors regardless of conditions.
If it does the lower back, absolutely.
If it's heated and massaging, it probably has Bluetooth as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you're gonna need that here considering where our studio is
in
the basement.
The studio chairs are not all that comfortable.
And considering that Hannah sits, let's see, we probably sit in those chairs for a good 5 hours.
It's a long evening.
So I think that she may just end up buying the vest for herself and then a vest for Nikki and then just...
Or maybe just myself and Nikki can just freeze.
See, there you go.
I'm just joking.
See, this is what we're dealing with here.
I know.
With Hannah.
I'm a little spicy today.
A little spicy.
One game that is not surprising to anybody.
Yeah.
Buford beat East Coweta 57-9.
It was a slow start.
I think we expected that one. Lowndes over North Paulding 35-17. This is 6A lower right quadrant.
Yes.
If you were watching the postgame show, then you know
what
we're talking about.
Yeah.
So Buford faces off with Lowndes for round number two.
Uh-huh.
In that game.
Yes, that's true. It's going to be on GPB.
It's going to be on GPB.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it a little bit more in depth in a bit. But in the postgame show on Friday night, we caught up with head coach Brian Appling for Buford as a bit of a tease, as they say in the industry. Here's his early thoughts on the game on Friday night as they are going to go up against Lowndes here on GPB.
And, you know, they're not going to come up, you know, worried about the aura of what Buford football is. They're going to come up to beat our tail. So, you know, we got to be, you know, tuned in and, you know, stop the run. They're really good on offense, and they play really, really fast and physical on defense. So we're going to have to do the same thing we did tonight.
More with Coach App coming up a little later on in the show. But we mentioned some of those four seeds and some of those folks that had the major upsets. This one was, you know, it was a two seed that got a home game. But you look at their record and you sit there and you go, well, they were 500 in the regular season, but it was in one of the most difficult regions in the state. First guest this week, Ware County head coach Jason Strickland about what his week one win was like in the postseason.
Hey, Coach Strickland. Gosh, what a gorgeous day there in Waycross. How are you?
I'm doing well, Hannah. We get a chance to practice football today, so we're excited. It is a beautiful day.
Beautiful day in the state when you can practice football. Well, before we get to Round number two. Let's take a look back to round number one of the playoffs. You got a big win over Tucker, 38-0. Man, how did your defense hold them to zero?
Well, you know, we had a big challenge ahead of us last week. We did not play particularly well the week before and came up on the short end of the stick. But, you know, and the other thing, too, is we knew we were playing a team that's got a lot of tradition, a lot of pride. Ware County has played Tucker, I think, twice going before last Friday in the playoffs and got the short end of the stick of that deal too. So, you know, it was a motivational tool for us last week to come out and play much better defensively. I thought our guys in the box played really, really well. We simplified some things on the back end to kind of, you know, take some thinking away from them and let them just go play fast. And it paid off Friday night.
For those north of the Nat line that may not know about Region 1 Quad A, this was another one of the regions that one of the reasons that we wanted to catch up with you is your region and just how incredibly insanely tough it is. From your perspective, how incredibly insanely tough is Region 1 Quad A?
I don't know how to put it in perspective, John. I mean, it is insanely tough. And you know, the quality of programs that you're dealing with, the amount of state championships that have been won by those groups. And I mean, you're talking about you talk about a New Hampstead team that didn't make the playoffs, that threw for 500 yards against us and threw for 635 against Perry. You know, so then add in Warner Robins, you add in
Benedictine.
You know, 15. I mean, it's just a tough pass to try to, you know, play these guys on a week in and week out basis. But, you know, fortunately we were able to win more than we lost and got to host the first round playoff game.
Yeah. I mean, 3-2 in region play going through all of that, and it'll be better though,
but it'll be
better for you in the long
run. The region is ridiculous. It is insane.
It is. And, you know, because of the hurricane, you know, our schedule got jumbled around. And we wound up having to play Benedictine, Perry, and Warner Robins back to back to back. And, you know, we came out of that deal 2-1. It's one of those things that you know, I said to our touchdown club, some of our fans, that if we had gotten back to the beginning of the season and said, hey, you're going to play Benedictine, Perry, and Warner Robins back to back to back, come out of that thing 2-1, we'd probably taken it. But, you know, it's just the quality of coaching, when you know that is in this region, the amount of pressure. It's one of those things, John Hannah. It's like every week we're turning film on, and oh, here's a 4-star defensive end or defensive lineman. We're playing Warner Robins. They got 2 Georgia commits on defense over there, and it's just, you know, hey, come on, guys, we're behind you. Don't go back in. It's tough. It's a lot of fun. You know, you gotta play your best ball, and you gotta do a heck of a job coaching every week. But if you slip up any, it's gonna bite you.
Well, your defense has done a heck of a job as well. It's your 6th season with the Gators. You won that championship back in 2022. I know that you are trying to get back there this season, but you have to get through North Oconee first. They are coming off a 49-0 win over Eagles Landing. I know you've got practice today. What have you seen on film from them?
Well, just an incredible football team. Coach Arndt has done a heck of a job at North Oconee since he's gotten there. And it's just not a week. That's it's a tough deal. I mean, kind of again, you turn the film on and there's, you know, the Roldan kid that's going to Georgia. And then you see, you know, Kamari Brooks has got an outside linebacker. He's got an offer from about everybody in the country. The Faulkner kid. His dad's offensive coordinator at Georgia Tech, so he's probably pretty football smart. And he's, by the way, he can spin and he can run. You know, got David Pollack coaching their defensive line. That doesn't seem very fair. You know, it's a tough task, and it's one of those teams that, you know, they very well easily could be playing at the end of the season. But you know, I think it's also, you know, an opportunity for us to say, hey, you know, we've been able to play with Perry. We've been able to play with Benedictine, Warner Robins, who I think are as good as anybody in the state. And this is an opportunity now for us to go on the road and prove that we can play with another really, really good football team.
How did that 3 weeks off affect everything other than having the schedule jumble? Because you're coming out of your non-region play where you had the two losses to Bartram Trail and to Tallahassee Lincoln. Then you end up with the 3 weeks off. How did that affect the whole in trying to prepare for region play?
Well, it was crazy because we had a lot of kids displaced and it was just things you don't think about. We had a couple of kids who like had a grandmother that was on oxygen. And it was machines that had to be plugged in. So they don't have power. I mean, they've got to get up and go somewhere. And, we had some kids that had to go to Savannah for a few days or Jacksonville, St. Augustine, kind of crazy stuff. And it hit at a time from a positive note, John, we were beat up. I mean, we were really, really beat up. We had a lot of kids, injured and just didn't know what their status was going to be. A big credit to our administration and our board for allowing us during that time to get our kids up to the school building. Just number one, to kind of take role, see what everybody needs, kind of be able to communicate to our touchdown club what kids might need something at their house or a generator, let our kids be able to come in and take showers and let us be able to feed them a couple times during the day. So that was all a very good positive for us. I thought it helped us bond together as a football team. And then when we come out of that thing and able to start playing again, I think mentally we were in a much better place.
Well, we agree. And then we are so glad that they had that extra bye week to give everybody a little bit more time to get their lives back together and make sure you get all your games in. I'm looking on Google Maps, which is always interesting.
Oh, she's doing the math about mileage. Here we go.
226 miles, Ware County High School to North Oconee County High School right now. So no traffic at 1:20 p.m. on a Monday. 4 hours and 20 minutes. So, Coach, you leaving now? Leaving in an hour? When are you guys heading that way?
That's a good question. This is going to be a road trip for sure. It's kind of crazy though, Hannah, with South Georgia and where Ware County is with folks that we play. If we get on a bus, we pretty well assume we're about to make a pretty long road trip, especially if you get to playoff time. I was kidding you guys a little bit earlier. I mean, we'll go up Friday morning, but our crew that sets up our sideline and all that type of shoot, they would have left yesterday if I could have let them. They got so much stuff on this monstrosity we call a travel trailer. It'll take them 6 hours to get everything set up there. So it's going to be a heck of a trip. We know it's going to be a great atmosphere, and I think our guys are kind of excited about going and playing somewhere new. I know North Oconee's going to have that place packed out and be jacked about this playoff game and a chance to play Ware County, and we're excited about getting tested by those guys as well.
When you are here in season number three, the postseason, chasing after a championship, what's it like for you and the coaching staff to be in a season three where you're chasing after things, where you've won championships before, you know what it's like to play in that 15th game? What's it like for you and the staff to know that you can really make some noise once again by being in a postseason after surviving region play? What's it like for you and the staff to know that you can chase after a title again?
Well, I mean, this is what it's about. You all the work in the off season and the summer stuff and all the non-region games and you spend all that time trying to figure out what pieces to the puzzle need to go where, and you're doing all that to try to prepare yourself to be peaking during the playoffs. And, so it's number one, it's more than just fun. It's just what the juices are about. This is what we want to be doing. If we can coach in the playoffs all year long, that's what you do. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But the little bit of added stress to it of knowing, hey, one bad play call, one missed tackle, one mistake on a special team. And then all of a sudden, you're taking up costumes on Monday. I think it pushes you to pay even more attention to the details I think you're our guys are more engaged this time of year with playoffs because they know it could be the last time they get to play together. But it's exciting, and you know, football for our town is a huge deal, and we've talked about that before. Our community absolutely loves this football program and what we try to accomplish. So when we get this chance and to make the playoffs, one of the things we talked about the last regular season game of the season is there's so many young men across this state that was the last time they'll ever put football pads on, and then it happened again for another group of young men last Friday, and it'll be the case this Friday. But we're at a place that really does everything they can to support us and to give us the opportunity to make runs in the playoffs. And we know that. Our kids know that. We understand that we're a special spot. And we don't take it for granted.
Well, my last question for you, Coach, and we'll let you go. I want to know what's on this bus. So what all in the trailer, the trailer of
the 40 footer. She wants to know.
What do you have to bring?
It is absolutely correct. Like when I first got here, we had like this little 6-foot trailer that I think they put a bag of footballs on and we loaded up and left. And then, all of a sudden we had to grow into this.
One bag of footballs.
It is so big. I mean, we look crazy trying to take this thing around. And, normally when we're going to somebody else's stadium, when we show up and the home team's guys are looking at us like, where do you think you're putting that bill at? And, the first year we had it, it was about a quarter of the way full. Now in year six, we can't even close the back door. So I keep asking our staff, like, what do we keep adding to this trailer?
Is it an apartment? Do the guys like chill in there?
I was like, but what do you guys do? Have we got a restaurant in this thing? How do we keep filling this trailer up? But every Friday, there it goes, big old trailer.
I love it.
And I don't even know what's on it. I have no clue.
It's got
that's a new feature,
it's got a
John.
Lazy boy and a PS3 and a 55 incher. And
what's in the Ware County 40-foot trailer? That's your new feature for next year, John.
There you go.
Piece by piece. There might be some stuff you don't want to find. You never know.
Hey, and a bag of footballs. Jason, one more question for you, and it's the make that kid an offer question. From your squad this year, who would qualify for the make that kid an offer category for you? Someone who's either not getting the quality looks that you think they should be getting or not getting any looks at all. Who gets make that kid an offer for you?
I think it's easy for us. It's our quarterback, Luke Hooks. He's a second-year starter, has played lights out really the whole season, but specifically the second half when we had to have him against Benedictine and Winter Robins and Perry and New Hampstead last Friday night, played lights out. I mean, he has done it all for us, and it's really hitting his mark. He'll be close to 2,000 yards here shortly, and had a great career for us. 4.0 student, just as good as there comes. Incredible leader, dynamic arm. He's not a runner; that's not what he is. But he's a guy that can stand back there and completely direct an offense, and he's done it really, really well for us.
As always, my friend, great to see you. Great to see you here in season number 3, and it's great to have you as a part of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. Thanks for dropping by and letting us know about this 40-foot trailer of yours. You've got Hannah intrigued, my friend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Appreciate what you guys do for high school sports in general, man.
One coach down, one to go, and here's one of those 4 seeds that was an angry 4 seed because they are in a tough region as well, and they're in central Georgia. Time to bear down and catch up with the head coach of Houston County, Jeremy Edwards, who I think just scored again.
Hey, Coach Edwards, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today. We know you're busy.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So, third consecutive first round of playoffs road victory. Man, it's always...
It's always
tough for you guys. 69-48 win, of course, on the road over Clark Central. Tell us about this game. I mean, your offense
they
was,
just scored again.
Your offense was outstanding.
Well, yeah, I mean, it'd be nice to play a home playoff game at some point in my career. But, we take on that road warrior mentality. And the game started off a little slow. At halftime, it was 15-14. They had the lead. And then We came out, made some adjustments in the second half. I think we scored 55, and you know, we had to keep scoring because they were scoring so much as well. I mean, they've got a really good team. Coach Perno's done a phenomenal job. Offensively, they're very good. Their quarterback is very good, and you know, we slowed them down just enough to be able to get the victory. So we're excited, and you know, there's no such thing as an ugly win. And for us, we were happy to just be able to play the next week.
Okay, so let me. So I just did math, and that's dangerous. So you said it was 15-14 at the break. So 88 points total in the second half, and wow, you scored 55 of them.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it was one of the craziest games I've been a part of, for sure. But like I said, give credit to, I mean, they were a region champ, a very good team, and they have some really, really good players, and I can't state that enough. They've done a great job, and we're lucky to come out of that one with a win and just blessed to be able to continue to play and spend as much time with this senior class as we can before they go on to bigger and better things.
That's a hell of a halftime speech. That's a lot of points, Coach. What did you say to them?
Well, you know, don't look at the scoreboard. You know, just play the next play and keep playing hard. And I told them that, you know, if they can do that, then they'll like the result at the end of the game. And that's what happened. And you know, we got great kids that, you know, I think they just had to get used to the setting. You know, obviously we spent some time on the road getting up there to Athens, and then it couldn't have come at a worse time with the Georgia, Tennessee crowds.
Oh, and yeah.
Drove through all the tailgates going on already.
Wow.
And, you know, we got there, tried to get settled in. And, you know, once we figured out exactly what they were trying to do to us defensively, we kind of locked in on what we did well and just tried to exploit that.
When you're in a situation like that where you have a 55-point second half, 55 points in 24 minutes, do you even have a moment to sit there and go, wow, this is really wild that's happening here? Or are you so locked in, are you and the staff so locked in coaching that it doesn't quite sink in that you're doing what you're doing in that second half?
To be honest with you, that's it, John. I didn't realize till after the game, wow, we scored 55 in the second half. You know, we just, to me, it was back and forth. The whole second half was back and forth. You know, I kept asking my guy up top, you know, what is that? I mean, how many are we up by now? You know, because we would score, they would score. We went up on a couple scores, got a couple good key stops, and then we're able to kind of, you know, cruise to the victory at the end. But for a little while there, it was a little uneasy just because, like I said, they were just so dynamic with their playmakers. And, you know, every time we had him hemmed up, he'd run around and make plays. And so, you know, fortunately we came out with the victory, but they were a very good football team and a region champ for a reason.
Your quarterback, A.J. Hill, who's committed to Memphis, threw his 117th career touchdown pass, breaking the school record held by Jake Fromm. What was that moment like? How did he feel?
Great accomplishment. We made sure we recognized him yesterday. We bring him in on Sundays, and we have a team meeting. I made sure we recognized him as a team so that all his teammates were aware of that accomplishment. What a great accomplishment. I mean, you know, to be the career leader in touchdowns at any school is big, but to beat out Jake Fromm is on another level.
Yeah.
And obviously he's not done. You know, we get another opportunity Friday night, and we expect for him to keep doing what he does. I mean, he's a great player. He's had a great career, such a great kid, and we'll certainly miss him. So I'm trying to just soak in as much time as I can with him right now.
Region 2-5A is nothing to sneeze at, and I know a lot of folks will sit there, they look at a Region 1, they'll look at a Region 2 south of the Nat line, and they sit there and go, wow, okay, that's an atypical 3 seed. That's an angry 3 seed that we say. That's an angry 4 seed that we always talk about up here. As a 4 seed in Region 2-5A, how tough is Region 2-5A?
We talked about this before, but at the beginning of the season, I think it is, it's not fun. it's not fun at all. I mean, every week and the way that our schedule worked out this week or this year, you know, we drew, you know, Coffee, TCC and Lee back to back to back.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little bit of a gauntlet for us, for anybody for that. And we knew that they were going to be tough games, and we were in all of them. We just didn't close them out. We had the lead in a couple of those games, and we just have to learn how to finish off really good teams. And all those guys won, and so I fully expect for them to make it far in their part of the bracket, if not make it all the way to the Final Four. And you know, we'll see what happens. But all of them very well coached, great programs, and definitely a challenge for anybody, as the whole state's seeing right now.
When it comes to make that kid an offer, we always love to ask this question. Who on your team would you nominate? Since we mentioned A.J. Hill is heading to Memphis, committed to Memphis, who would you nominate on your team to get an offer?
Oh, that's a loaded question. We've got some really good players, and we're fortunate to have a lot of guys that have offers. I really think that we've got a really good nose guard in Jacoby Bryant. He's going to be a really, really good player. Right now, he plays a lot of snaps as a sophomore. I think that he's deserving. He played his tail off Friday night. And so I would say definitely Jacoby Bryant is one that deserves an offer.
When you have to pack up, we had Jason Strickland from Ware earlier on in the show. When you have to pack up everything
for a road game, these road games that you have, Coach.
He now has a 40-foot trailer that they pack all of their stuff in.
That they can barely close the doors.
Yeah, and so it has evolved from just having like this little horse trailer to now this 40-foot long thing that they go on the road with. When it comes to packing for a road game, so you pack for a road game to Athens. Now you're packing for a road game to go to suburban Augusta. How much of a
what do you bring
task is it to pack for a road game? What goes into all of that?
We have a 40-foot trailer, and so we actually the late Robert Davis's grandson, Blake, is our game operations guy, and I can't give him enough credit. He does a tremendous job, and the day before, typically on a Thursday, we start that process. The kids will start packing their bags. We'll try to get everything loaded on there that we can the night before, so it's an easy transition on Friday. But it's an all-day event. He works over at the base, and so I hope they're not listening right now. I don't know what he does during the day, but shoot, he's up here all day on Friday getting stuff ready to roll, and so does a great job. But it is a definite task. And tedious, because we carry a lot of stuff, for sure.
He's defending our country, and he's defending the Hoco Bears. I see how this works.
I love it.
That's right. He's got football in his blood. So
I mean, so when you think about everything that you're having to pack, I mean, you got it is jerseys, it is football, it is gear, it is all the electronics. I mean... Mm-hmm.
But what else to fill an entire trailer?
Yeah, what are we missing here? What do you guys put in here to fill this trailer?
Like a field goal? Like a pop-up goal?
The player bags take up a lot.
Okay.
Because they need all the space they can. We're a little old school. My first 2 years, we would get the charter buses, and we'd spend all this money on the charter buses. And to be honest with you, I think the kids are more comfortable on the yellow cheese than they are on the charter bus, to be quite honest, because they can kind of spread out and kind of lay down if they need to. And, so we need to give them as much space as they can. So we put their bags with all their gear on that trailer. So I'd say that takes up the most, room. We carry the TVs for the sideline replay stuff that we do. That takes up a lot.
And the tents and the chairs.
That just all kind of adds up. It's a lot on the pulling that trailer with the truck, for sure.
Because you've got to bubble wrap all the electronics so they don't get damaged and make sure that they're all safe and everything. What has study hall been like getting ready for Lakeside Evans?
Well, they've got they're riding high right now. I mean, you don't just become 10-1 by accident. And, I think the one thing you'll notice about them is they do a great job making adjustments at halftime. They pull away from teams in the second half. And, they've got 4 or 5 guys that are really, really good players that have played a lot of football over their career there, and a very dynamic quarterback. reminds me a lot of, and this is a big, you know, a big deal, but Kyler Murray. I mean, he's not very big. He runs around, makes plays. And we got to figure out a way to hem him up. If we can figure that out, I think that's going to lead to success for our defense and for our team. But he's very dynamic, and I would be lying to you if I told you I wasn't losing sleep over that kid.
Well, as always, Jeremy, it's great to catch up with you. Great to find out what's going on down there at Houston County. We know that everybody there that is a part of the Bear Down family, we know that they're going to make a big trip. They're probably going to call in sick for work on Friday. I'm not feeling well. It's like, and then all of a sudden, you just see this traffic pattern heading out to Lakeside Evans to make sure that everything's there. As always, great to see you, my friend. Good luck this weekend, and thanks for pulling back the curtain on what's in your 40-foot trailer this week.
Yes, sir. Thank you all so much. Y'all have a good one.
New segment on the podcast.
What's in your 40-foot trailer?
Okay,
so Ambassador Jeremy and Marky Mark, can we find, like, game show music? And like, so what's in your 40-foot trailer? And then, you know, you've got you play like the Price is Right music, yeah, kind of a thing.
Vanna White. Like.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's already happening.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You hear it? Yes, here it is.
Fantastic.
What's in your 40-foot trailer?
See, you got Hannah with the giggles, and that's just as important as everything else.
Oh, my gosh.
So, do you have, and you sit there, how many items do you have in your trailer? And you sit there, it's like Cliffhanger on The Price is Right. You sit there and you guess 107 separate items, you know, and the yodeling happens. And then if you go over and your guesses, then the mountain climber goes over the edge.
They make all the players go on there and grab their own bag?
Yes.
You don't know that for certainty.
Personal responsibility.
Man, that would be
You have to take control of your own stuff.
I don't know, because it's all piled in there and somebody's got to unload it.
I'm thinking that someone hands AJ Hill what AJ Hill's bag. But see,
well,
now here's
hands
your
him his bag.
And here's your separate question that goes with the game show. What's in insert players here bag? What is in the bag?
I don't think I want to know what's in any of those bags.
But I think that these are two fantastic segments.
Never know.
Don't we have somebody else to talk to?
We do.
Well, then let's do that.
Yeah, so here's the game coming up. It's Buford and Lowndes. And so here's the full conversation that we had with Brian Appling as we get ready for Buford and Lowndes here on the Great GPB.
And that Buford score, 57-9 over East Coweta. And head coach Brian Appling is on to chat with us all about it. Coach App, we haven't spoken since the first game of the season. How the heck are you?
doing better than that night, I guess.
Well, we're glad to see it. We're happy to see it. How were you able to pull this one off with such a large margin tonight?
Kids played good. I mean, we came out a little slow and, you know, played around a little bit in the first quarter and a half or so. But our running game took over and defense. We had a big pick six, right before the half, about a minute left in the half by Chris Garland. And you know, I was just proud of the way those guys played. We ran the ball really well, threw the ball really well as well. And, you know, defense played pretty much lights out most of the night other than giving up one deep ball.
Now, App, you know, that you had mentioned that slow start that you guys had had in this particular game coming out of the blocks. What were the conversations like there on the sideline to get the head screwed on straight so they would put the pedal down and get the result tonight?
I mean, just play beautiful football. Our brand of football is run the football first and stop the run and play good defense, play great in special teams. And, you know, it was nothing crazy going on. It was just a couple laps of judgment and laps of, you know, concentration on the end. And that's kind of thing you're worried about sometimes, getting a bye week right before, you know, playoffs. You're playing good and play good against Mill Creek. And, we, you know, you kind of want to keep it rolling, you know, unless you're banged up and we're fairly, you know, healthy. So we would like to kept playing, but you know, with the situation, what happened with the weather, we understood, and you know, you always want to take a bye week and try to get better with it. But you know, you kind of lose a little bit of the momentum you build throughout region play with that. And that's what I think. It just took them a little while to get going, and once we got going, we you know, played the brand of football we like to play.
Well, Coach, you advance to play Lowndes next week, and that game will be right here on GPB. You're hearing it first. We're so excited about this one. I know you've watched film on Lowndes. What is it going to take to get past them?
I mean, I got a lot of respect for, you know, a lot of programs, but Coach Carter does a great job wherever he goes, and I know those guys will be tuned up to play hard on defense because he's a defensive specialist, and, you know, he's at Grayson. Me and him talked a bunch about, you know, different situations and different things. So I got a lot of respect for him and a lot of respect for those guys, and, you know, they're not going to come up, you know, worried about the, you know, the aura of what Buford football is. They're going to come up to beat our tail. So, you know, we got to be, you know, tuned in and, you know, stop the run. They're really good on offense, and they play really, really fast and physical on defense. So we're going to have to do the same thing we did tonight.
I was going to ask, Coach, are there any secrets this time of year? You mentioned the past relationship that you have with Adam from his time at Grayson and working his way here in the Atlanta area. Are there any secrets? Can you hide anything back, or is pretty much everything on the table right now?
I mean, we never really played against each other, so we don't know everything about each other. So, but, you know, at this time of year, yeah, I mean, you're going to turn over every stone, watching every bit of film you can watch to get, you know, any advantage you can. So there's not really any secrets out there. Everybody's got film, and they will know what you've done in every situation, know what your weaknesses are, and they're going to try to exploit them. Same thing on our end. Try to figure out a way we can exploit, you know, any weaknesses they have, and I'll be able to dive into it deeper tomorrow once we trade all the film.
Knowing you, Coach App, I know you've watched film probably on all the teams in your quadrant already. Thank you so much for the time. Congratulations on the win, and we hope to see you again soon.
We'll see you all week this coming up week as we get smart on Buford. Thanks for dropping by.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'll see y'all next week.
We did not have the presence of mind to ask Coach Appling what was in their 40-foot
in
trailer.
In their trailer and in their bags.
See, but now we have to do this now from now on. We have to. It's
on
like,
the
okay,
post-game
so
show, ask him what's in the
Well, no, or on the podcast, okay, we ask the coaches that come in because we don't have enough time, sadly,
yeah,
to talk about
on
the post-game show. How do you travel? Do you have the 40-foot trailer? What's in your 40-foot trailer?
Okay, next week.
Yeah,
next
so
week.
Next week's guests and as we go down the line in the playoffs. What's in your 40-foot trailer?
I love it.
And we find out what's going on with there. What else is on your mind before we get out of here?
Okay, yeah. So, Lowndes versus Buford, 7:30, round number 2. Other notable games, Collins Hill versus Colquitt, Douglas County versus North Cobb, TCC versus Rome, Roswell versus Hughes. Mm-hmm. What else is on your list?
What else is on my list? I did a whole lot of, like, marking here. You got
there's a lot of pink highlighter on
your
notes.
Yeah, there is. There is a lot of pink highlighter. You've got Luella, can they go back-to-back with upsets? They go to Cherokee Bluff. LaGrange and Sandy Creek, that's going to be a big one in AAA. Douglas at Calhoun, that's going to be an interesting one at the Reeve. In AA, you've got Sumter County, Morgan County. Thompson goes to Banneker to take on Hayfield Charter. Laney and Burke County, that's going to be a fun one in East Georgia. Stevens County has to travel to Callaway to play at Callaway Stadium. Carver Atlanta travels to Appling to take on our buddy Coach Mullis there in Baxley. Pierce County at Columbia, Ringgold and Carver Columbus. Class A's got some fun ones. Jeff Davis in Fannin County. I'm really looking forward to that one. That's a 1-16 that's going to be in the mountains. Keep an eye on that. Bleckley County and Fitzgerald. Bleckley County with the upset. They travel to Fitzgerald in that one. Elbert and Hurd, Commerce and Tombs, Temple and Thomasville. Great season for Corey Nix and the Temple Tigers. Irwin and Early, Tryon and Telfair, Clinch and Johnson County. Bowden and Metter's going to be sneaky good. Wilcox is at Manchester, Mitchell and Lincoln, and on the private side. This one, you were doing mileage?
Yes.
This one is not a... Here, do the mileage on this one.
Oh, boy.
Savannah Country Day.
Okay. Savannah, okay, got it.
At Savannah Christian.
This is going to be really close.
Yeah, I want to see the mileage between these two schools. It's probably going to be played at Pooler.
12 miles.
Yeah, so 12 miles versus...
20 minutes.
Yeah, 20 minutes with traffic. So you've got that one. Providence Christian won their first ever postseason game, by the way. Very, very cool stuff there.
Shout out.
Lovitz at Hebron, Wesleyan Christian Heritage, Kings Ridge at Fellowship Christian. Time for Marky Mark and what's on his mind.
Well, before Marky Mark, I want to give the girlies a quick shout out.
Sure, go for it.
So flag football is streaming,
yes,
leading up to playoffs and championships.
Check.
So check out flag football,
yes,
streaming on gpb.org/sports in the app. And then cheerleading.
Yes.
Had their championships, wanted to give a really quick shout out to the girls who are on the sidelines cheering the boys on. South Forsyth won the co-ed, and then we'll just go down highest classification to smallest. North Forsyth won 6A, McIntosh 5A, Cartersville 4A, Cherokee Bluff AAA, Pierce County AA, single A division one was Bremer.
Bremen. It's an N.
I was about to say, well, who is Bremer? Let me correct that. Bremen.
Bremen.
See, single A Division II Lake Oconee Count Academy.
Yes.
Now Lake, I'm all just
Lake LOA. Just go LOA. It's Bremen and LOA is what
and
happened.
And finally, private. Yes, I had some letters mixed up here. Finally, the private division, Mount Perrin Christian. So anyway, shout out to the girls. Congratulations, gals, yes, and the co-ed division on championship titles.
All right, Marky Mark, what is on your mind as we hit round two of the playoffs? You have had time to think. So what is the thought pattern that is ruminating and emanating from between your temples for this week, sir?
So I've had a lot of time to think about things, but actually what I want to recommend the most right now is some reading. I've actually recently gotten back into reading books. I've picked up a lot of Kurt Vonnegut, but actually for sport.
Wow, that's deep.
I love Kurt Vonnegut. His stuff's incredible. But what I would actually want to recommend for like our sports audience is there's a book called Those Guys Have All the Fun. It's the oral history of like early ESPN.
Oh, yes.
Oh, have you read that?
Yes.
It's wild. Have you? Okay, I'm one little side tangent here. Have you read the one about MTV, like the early?
I have not. I have not read the MTV one.
That one's great.
See, for someone who watched endless
reading,
hours.
Reading
of,
homework right now is just not conducive to...
Yeah,
twin so, mom life.
No, for her, for yeah, when her twin girls are 18, maybe
I'll
she'll
read
start
it,
reading.
30 years from now,
I was gonna say in 15, in 16 years when they're
list.
In college, then she'll start reading. But yeah, as someone who spent a lot of time watching MTV when they actually played music videos.
Oh, I did too.
And then they had MTV 2. And look, I remember.
I,
look, I remember MTV News with Kurt Loder and Tabitha Soren. Kurt Loder came from Rolling Stone, and that was such a big deal at the time.
No, mine was Day, right?
What?
What's it? What was his name? Carson Daly. Carson Daly. Yeah. That was my generation.
Yeah, see, that's the generation gap that we have here when it comes to MTV.
1800s yes. to 90s.
See?
90s, baby.
Yeah.
You
see,
were 1800s.
Yeah, see, 19th century, 1900s. Yeah, so I see how
exactly.
this goes. Yes.
Exactly.
All right, so it was a rough day in the postseason for those of us that made the postseason.
Oh,
Commander
boy.
Sandy and Ambassador Jeremy both lost. Decatur out in the first round. And
is anybody still?
No.
Nope.
We're all done.
Oh.
And Ambassador Jeremy's Darlington, actually, they were the first final score. They had a 2 o'clock kick on Friday afternoon.
That's right, they did.
And they were the first final in the barn. They did not score in their loss to Kings Ridge.
Right?
Correct. Yes, very good. So once again, quick reminder, thanks to everybody, because reading is good. I think that's the message from Marky Mark this week, is that reading is good.
Reading is good.
Reading is good. So for Marky Mark, for King James, for Ambassador Jeremy, for Commander Sandy, for G-Money, for you and for me, that's another round, isn't it?
That's a round, John.
It is. It's a round. Lowndes and Buford.
Maybe
seven.
get some sleep at some point.
Yeah, no, that's what January's for. Lowndes and Buford, GPB, GPB.org, and the GPB Sports app. Enjoy the second round of the playoffs. We'll have more coaches, and we'll find out what's in their 40-foot trailers next week here on GPB.